Short Sermons, number 5. This one's called The Word of God and Self-Determination. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, 2 Corinthians 1:1, spoke of being controlled by the love of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:14. God controls his people by his love. When they come to comprehend the love of Christ, which surpasses human ways of knowing, Ephesians 3:18 to 19. God himself is not controlled by love. He's not controlled at all. He isn't subject to any necessity, either inside or outside of himself. He's not even subject to his own immutability, as if he is immobile and inactive. God is free, and God is love. He loves in freedom. If we want to talk about his immutability, then we would have to say that he immutably loves in freedom. Again, Paul said that he was controlled by the love of Christ. He was not controlled as such, apart from a determination that he had made, a judgment that he had reached, namely, that since one died for all, then all died, in 2 Corinthians 5:14. But this judgment that he made, this act of self-determination, was determined first by the Word of God. The determining Word of God. God had revealed his Son in Paul when God determined it to be the right time to do so. Galatians 1:16. We should consider this when we have loved ones or friends who are not receptive to our witnessing. When God sees that it's time to do so and deems it right, then he reveals his Son. When God revealed his Son to Paul, or we could say spoke in his Son to Paul, the persecutor of the church that Paul was, the persecutor of the church of God, came to understand that this one, the Son, died for all. And therefore, all died in his death. The revelation by God of his Son in Paul was the revelation of his Son in a universal and eternal saving significance. It was because of this revelation that Saul of Tarsus, also known as Paul, also determined as a result of that determining revelation, not to know any person after the flesh any longer. Instead, because one died for all, and all died, means that all who were in him who died when he died are now in him who is risen from the dead. If anyone is in Christ, he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and by this same reasoning, everyone is in Christ in one very real sense, then all the old determinations of them, ways of identifying them as Jew, Gentile, free, slave, highborn, lowborn, Greek or Scythian, socially refined or socially awkward, male or female, powerful or lowly, rich or poor, upper class, middle class, lower class, high IQ, low IQ, and we could say and add in our own time, black or white, oriental or occidental, left or right, liberal or conservative, professional or accidental, and on and on. These do not ultimately define anyone. What ultimately defines everyone now is that they are reconciled to God in Christ. Therefore, in reality and in truth, all are in Christ, whether they know it or not, or believe it or not, or want to be or not. This is the astounding reality of the radical, permanent, universal, salvific alteration of the situation of the world that happened at Golgotha and then in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the universal salvific or saving alteration of the situation of the world of humanity in all of its times, now in the simultaneity of all times in Christ. This is the reality that is Jesus. It is not yet seen, of course, for all things are not yet seen by us under his feet, Hebrews 2:8. But we don't walk by sight, but by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. By faith we see Jesus with the eyes of our heart, who already tasted death for everyone, who already experienced the terrible wages of sin for everyone, so that all would have the gift of eternal life through and in him. In his death, all sin and all sins are past. In his death, all sins are past. In 2 Peter 1:9, they have passed away with all the old things. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, they will never be remembered again by God, according to the promise God made in connection with the new covenant. Hebrews 8:8 through 12, quoting Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. We walk by faith. That means that our lives are conducted in a self-determination that is determined by the Word of God, by the Word of reconciliation, the declaration that in Christ God reconciled the world to himself, not imputing the world's sins to them, that God loved the world so much that he gave his Son, who loved us and gave himself for us, himself to become sin, himself to put away sin, himself to be the propitiation for our sins, the infinite satisfaction that all sins have been judged and forgiven. That is, the sins of the whole world in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the righteous judge whom God the Father entrusted with all judgment, willed to receive the judgment of God for us in our place, so that the wrath of God against sin and sins was endured by Jesus on the cross for us. This is what it means that he endured the cross in Hebrews 12:2. He became sin for us that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. And by we, Paul meant not just we who believe, but we, the world. For God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, is the Savior of everyone. And yes, especially those who believe, but as it has been often said recently, certainly not only those who believe, 1 Timothy 4:9 to 10. I, as merely one prolific sinner who has received an even more prolific grace from the God of all grace, have determined not first that there is universal salvation, but first I have determined by the Word of God and the Spirit of truth, the Lord God of reality, that Jesus has and is universally saving significance, that Jesus himself is the reality of a truly eternal and universal salvation. Let's pray that God would grant that we would be determined by his word, that our self-determination would come from the determination of the word and the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and of grace. And that's the end of short sermon number 5.